Bill Hendry.
Wait a minute. They're bud, turn that off, man.
A Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Oh. Come on down.
Well, if you guys want to start all over again.
You want me to start all over again?
Yeah, I think so. If you don't mind starting all over again, because I'll
hold on. We'll start all over again. If I told you once, I told you a million times, bud, to get that iTunes turned off, okay? All right, here we go. Starting all over again, it is time for the show, and here is Mr. Bell.
Woo!
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
All right, I don't want to be a complainer, but I just heard the phone. I heard a phone pickup sound effect. What?
You heard a what?
I heard the phone.
Ted's, we want to put our meat in your mouth.
What's the problem?
The problem is I heard a phone pickup sound effect.
I think he said he heard the phone.
Is that Ms. Gray? Is it Arthur Gray?
Yes, it is.
Would you mind terribly not saying anything? Could I just talk to Mr. Hendry for a moment?
Well, you're on the air right now.
Could I just talk to Mr. Hendry for a moment?
Margaret, if you don't mind, let me...
This is the rate... Am I not a...
Hold on. What's the problem, Ted?
I heard a phone pickup sound effect.
You're the sound of a guy picking up a phone.
What does that mean?
Here, I'll do it. I'll do it. Hold on. Like that.
So what if you heard a phone pickup sound effect?
It sounds phony baloney. Now do it again.
All right, Ted, we have...
Do it again. Do it again. Am I the sponsor on the program? Do I not pay for the, part of the segment of this program? Do it again.
All right, we're going to do...
Wait, hold on. I just heard hands on a telephone sound effect. What is it with you guys? Why don't you run a tighter ship down there, okay? Now I heard a phone pickup sound effect.
What do you mean hands on the phone?
Just so you can hear that somebody holding on the phone.
What?
Then he heard somebody holding on the phone.
Yeah, it's not here. I'll give it. Here's what it sounds like. Like that. And I hear that all the time. What is it with you, man? You used to run a really clean show. Now all of a sudden, I don't know.
When did I run that clean show? Like about 10 years ago?
Something like that, yeah.
Okay. Now what do you want me to do?
I want you to do it again. Open the show clean, well-produced, the way I used to hear it. 10 years ago.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, Mr. Ted Bell.
Ted's a Beverly Hills Steakhouse. Come on down.
Thanks a lot, Billy. Come on down to Ted's of Beverly Hills. We've got a great, great, wonderful seafood platter. I didn't tell you about our seafood platter. It is a great seafood platter. The seafood itself is good. But the platter's better.
We want to put our meat in your mouth.
I'm sure I don't mean to do jokes, but I've got to do something to sort of lighten the mood, Phil, after a very rough start here. I'm Ted Bell, and it's great to be with everybody. And here is, of course, your host for this evening, Phil Hendry. Phil, how are you doing?
I'm doing great, Ted.
Just let people know, in keeping with the new formatics of my appearance on the program, it's going to be more of a 50-50 presentation because I was talking with David G. Hall, and he agreed with me that Phil should at least give it the opportunity to work. That is, he and I, 50-50, right down the middle, and we will sort of separate the duties of the host of the program. And I hope, Phil, that you agree, because I know that I think it's going to work very, 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 a lot better than you do.
I thought it was working fine the other way, but if you want to do things this way, that's okay.
All right, Phil. No reason to get... We want the audience to enjoy the program. The reason why I'm on Phil's program tonight, and let me move away from the kitchen, because a lot of you people know, I own Ted's of Beverly Hills. It's a great steakhouse here in Beverly Hills, California, but I'm also a very big contributor to the Phil Hendry Show as a sponsor, and I'm also very concerned about the issues of the day, very concerned about the news of the day, and I want people to sound off on some of these issues, and certainly I want to contribute. One of the things, Phil, that I wanted to talk about tonight is the recent election of President Obama and the reaction to the election of President Obama by a great many people. Now, I am a businessman. I am a successful businessman. Now, what does that mean? I'll tell you what it means. It means that if I say that Obama being elected president of the United States is no sweat off of my blank-blank, let's call it, then it shouldn't be for any other businessman listening right now. Now, please understand what I'm saying. I'm not talking about some multi-billionaire international corporation, chairman of the board, guys that have more money than God, and there are very few of those. Look, there's a lot of guys that are wealthier than me, but not that many, because to be wealthier than Ted Bell means that you have to be an international, I would say an international business mogul, as opposed to someone that is drawing his bread, drawing his, you know, getting his money from the United States, or from a smaller market, shall we say. So that's point number one. Point number two is this. If I say, as a successful businessman, that Barack Obama being elected president of the United States of America is no sweat off of my...
You're saying blank, blank. I think we know, sort of. What do you mean
blank, blank?
Because there's two words to it. There's two words to it.
Is it important for us to know?
Is it important for you to know? I mean, I'm not going to say it because I'm a gentleman and I'm not going to use the words on your show. Is it important for you to imagine what I'm saying? Yes. But I'm not going to use the words because I don't want children to imagine what I'm saying and I don't want women to imagine what I'm saying.
But you want men to imagine what you're saying.
Exactly. And what I'm saying to all of the men out there and to all the business people, whether they're male or female, if I say... Ted Bell of Ted's of Beverly Hills, a successful businessman, a man who makes a lot of money. You know, people, I don't even know where to begin. I make one hell of a lot of money. And if I'm fine with Obama being elected president, reelected as president, and if I say it's no sweat off of my... In many ways, I wish I could tell you.
All right, okay, so fine. Why is it important to keep using that phrase, no sweat off of my blank blank?
Because it's very descriptive, and I think we need to motivate a lot of our business people out there. And that brings me to my final point. If you think I'm kidding, I'm not, Phil. You can check with Rick Dooley, who works at the, who works over there with the LEG guys, and they have a social platform they're working on. You can check with him. We're starting up something called Quitter, Quitter. It's not Twitter. It's Quitter. And Quitter is for everyone that says they can't hire and they can't spend and they can't do any business with Obama as president. That is your Twitter. It's called Quitter. And you sign up over there and you can talk with all the other losers that are, you know, similarly motivated.
All right. So if I could.
Go ahead.
What we have here is a...
What we have here is a failure to communicate. Remember the movie with Paul Newman?
Yeah. Strother Martin.
Yeah, what we have here is... what we have here, Phil, is my statement of... not even my statement of purpose. This is my statement, period. If I, Ted Bell, a very successful restaurateur in a very competitive restaurant market, which is Los Angeles, California, to wit, Beverly Hills, California, to wit, Dayton Drive, Dayton Way, Rodeo, all of those streets. If I say that I have got no problem with Obama being elected president of the United States, it's no sweat off of my...
All right, Ted, let's just...
You see what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying, then if it shouldn't be any sweat off of any other businessman.
Not anybody listening to this show, no.
And what does that mean?
It means that I dare say that anyone listening to this program may be as successful as me in terms of income, although I doubt it, but there isn't anybody more successful. So let's take, for instance, some guy that drives a truck or whatever. It's a very honorable profession. I'm not saying that a guy shouldn't drive a truck, but I am saying that if that guy has got a problem with Obama because he thinks it's going to affect his ability to make a living, and I'm telling you that no, it isn't, I'm telling you that you need to rethink the situation. Either rethink the situation, get out there and get some business done, or go over there and join Quitter. And you can talk to Rick Dooley.
Now, he's not related to anybody. You know, we have a couple of Dooley.
No, he's not. This is the I'll tell you who he is. He's the stepson of Bob Frangipone, who had started the social media tracking that they do over there. And it was his idea to come up with he threw in with the guys that started Twitter, and then he came over with these guys. And that's when I said, have you thought about Quitter? And he said, well, what do you mean by Quitter? I said, this is the place where all the losers hang out that are complaining about Obama.
All right, well, here's the thing. It sounds to me like one big fat political statement. It's one big fat satirical statement against Romney, conservatives, and anybody that was opposed to Obama.
Well, I get it, maybe, but I'm being dead serious. Go over there, join Quitter, and start talking about how you can't get any business done. Look, I'm not in love with Obama. What I am in love with is making a living. And I'm not going to let that guy being elected president keep me from making a living. And when I heard what you said on the air the other night, that this whatever her name is, this Ingrahammer, or whatever her name is.
Laura Ingraham.
Yeah, she said that she knows people that aren't hiring because, I think that she's not telling the truth. Okay? You were very kind to her. I think she's flat telling a lie. I don't think she knows anybody that isn't hiring. I think what she isn't seeing is the big picture, which basically means she's not getting out of her apartment at night. She needs to see the big picture, as in walk out the front door and stand on a street corner and smell the coffee. Take a look at the flowers. Maybe there aren't any flowers blooming, and maybe nobody's brewing any coffee, but smell something, look at something, anything.
All right, look, we'll be right back here.
Yeah, we'll be right back. But let me just...
Hold on, Ted. We'll be right back. Ted's of Beverly Hills is the location. Ted Bell is our co-host tonight, talking about Quitter and talking about Obama and the election of Obama is no sweat off of his blank blank. I suspect that at some point in the evening, we're going to find out what that is.
Well, if it is as crude as he indicates that it is, I hope I don't.
Well, something tells me we're going to. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
I am fired up. I'm motivated. No sweat off of my...
You're listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We're back.
Steakhouse,
yeah.
Come on back.
Hey, come on down to Judge of Beverly Hills. Listen, we have got that prime rib slow roasted all day on Sunday. As a matter of fact, we're still slow roasting it from Sunday. And today's what, Thursday? You know how good it's going to taste tomorrow when it's black, charcoal black? I'm kidding around.
Well, you were uncharacteristically uncharacteristically self-effacing this evening.
You know, Phil, I'm feeling good. I am. I'm feeling very good.
Yeah, you're talking about your food. It's going to be charcoal black.
I'm kidding around. Anybody that's ever had the Ted Bell prime rib, they know that I'm kidding. Anyone that's ever had our prime rib, they're not even listening to my commercials anymore. They don't need to listen to my commercials anymore. All they do is they wake up in the morning and they pray, and I say this, Phil, with the greatest of sincerity. They pray to whatever God they pray to that they'll make it to the end of the day so they can at least see the front doors of my restaurant, if in fact they don't live to walk through them. Now,
well, what does that mean?
What does what mean?
If in fact they don't live to walk through them.
What if they have a heart attack? That's all I'm saying. You know.
Boy, are you dramatic. All right.
What is dramatic about that? I have great pride in my restaurant. We prepare great food, and I've seen generations of people grow up on our great food, and we're very proud of that. Okay, I feel like Danny Aiello in Do the Right Thing as he sits there and he looks out and he sees. Well, I shouldn't have brought it up because it's.
Yeah, Danny Aiello in Do the Right Thing, and he looks out and he sees what?
I'd rather not say, but he's very proud of the food. And
because he has an Italian, he has a pizzeria in a black neighborhood.
Okay, look, Phil, I'm a sponsor.
No, I understand, but, you know, Ted, you're the guy that you sort of, you know, if you will, you back your Cadillac into these mud holes. And
oh, isn't that colorful? I back my Cadillac. Phil, I want to tell you something. From the bottom of my heart, I appreciate and I love you, but I don't think you really understand the finer points of what it is I'm saying. I'm articulating business principles and business models here. We are in the middle of a recession, yes. We've had a president be reelected, yes. Is he a president that some people don't like? Yes. Is he a president that some people think is a socialist? I guess. Are you talking to a man that cares? No. Are you talking to a successful American businessman? Yes. Does this successful American businessman care if Obama's president? No, I do not. And any businessman listening to me tonight that does is a loser. All right? Now, did I make myself clear? Now, if you say to me that that's a real negative attitude and I'm being, you know, Danny Aiello, do the right thing. And
well, the two things are not the same. You were making a comment about Danny Aiello in his neighborhood and he's looking out and he sees all the... I know what you were thinking. You're getting what?
I don't like you painting me as some kind of a racist. I'm not a racist.
Well, then why did you pause when you said Danny Aiello as he looks out the window and he sees, well, never mind?
Because it was a rundown neighborhood. It was a rundown neighborhood.
Oh, sure.
It was a rundown neighborhood and he could have had a bed. It would be like me having a steakhouse in... Well, I better not, but...
What?
It would be like me having a steakhouse in St. Louis. You know, it's just...
Oh, boy, you... You know, I bet you they've got some real good steakhouses in St. Louis. Oh, sure.
I'm sure they do. Let's do that again.
Oh, sure.
I'm sure they do. How'd that sound?
Fantastic.
All right. That's just great.
All right, Ted Bell joining us here. Our number is 877-876-7445. Let's get more, Ted, now into your philosophy. Number two, before we do that, I want to mention Margaret is here. And
I got no problem with Margaret being there. I just didn't want her... right off the bat, meddling in some technical discussion.
I don't meddle in technical discussions, Ted.
Okay, Margaret, yes you do. Okay, yes you do. And
I do not meddle in technical discussions. I was asking a simple question, that's all.
Well, I wanted to get through the opening of the program without hearing her asking questions that would sidetrack us.
I tell you what you do. You let me handle that, okay?
There you go. Bingo.
Bingo. Okay, great. Thank you. You handle that, Phil. Thank you very much, Margaret, for pointing out that Phil will handle that. And thank you once again, Phil, for allowing her to point that out to me. And I stand here, and I'm toweling off once again like I might as well be the woman in one of those movies. I don't understand why I'm treated this way.
You know, there's a lot of people here looking at each other with quizzical looks on their faces.
Quizzical about what?
About the last toweling off like I'm the woman in one of those movies.
Well, if you want, I'll explain it.
No, you don't have to explain it. I understand what that means. But what you might want to explain, not now, but somewhere down the road, is what kind of a mind you have to come up with a comparison like that.
I feel humiliated.
Yes, that's right. I know you feel humiliated, but to feel humiliated to that extent. All right. Obama is elected president. You made a point. It's a pretty good point. As a businessman... you are not afraid of Obama as president. Now, you mentioned that there have been people on radio and television who have been saying that businesses don't want to hire, businesses...
yeah, exactly.
They don't want to... They're laying people off with Obama being elected. I don't know that that's widespread. That might be just one person's opinion. But you're not.
No, of course I'm not. I'm a businessman, a successful American businessman. I only know one way of making money, and that is going out and aggressively pursuing new customers. That's what I do. That's what Ted Bell does, okay? See, that's why I'm Ted Bell. I started this business after my father just about wrecked it back in the early 1980s. I have built this up with my bare hands from almost nothing, okay? We've had Reagan. We've had Clinton. We've had Daddy Bush. We've had Little Bush. We've had all kinds of Bush, if you'll pardon me being a little crude. But the fact, and we've got Obama. And through it all, we have enjoyed success as an American business. And you want to know why? Because we don't sit there like losers worrying about who's president of the United States. Now, for all of your listeners who are business people and who are... whatever you want to call it, Phil, or the, you know, you're drawing in the horses, you know, you're cutting back on business, you're downsizing, or whatever those terms are, then you go over to our new website called Quitter, you register, get an account, get online over there, and talk to all the other losers that you're going to be talking to over the next several years as you, you know, complain about Obama.
Now, what was it that prompted this?
Well, I'll tell you, Phil.
And hold that thought while we have to come back from a break, okay?
You just asked me a question.
Yeah, hold that thought and we'll come back from a break.
Well, do I...
No, you don't. Just hold that thought. We'll come back from a break.
God.
World famous Phil Henry Show, Ted Bell. His new website is called Quitter, for all the losing business people out there that are worried about who president, you know, who's president, and all of the money he's going to make, whether it's Obama or Romney. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Goodbye.
Can I just...
No, just wait until the break.
Very unfair. Very unfair. You feel like a loser.
This is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Wait, what?
Well, I heard the phone bump on the table, and I...
Will you stop, you know, stage managing the production on this show, please?
Are you trying to bring me on after I hear a phone bump on a table? You had dead air after the news break there. You know, what I would like, Phil, is for you and your crew to at least pay attention. Hello?
Go ahead.
Of Beverly Hills.
All right, I hope. You know what?
Steakhouse. Come on down.
You know, Phil, if you got a 13-year-old daughter, I think you did once, I hope she is possessed by a demon in the same way Linda Blair's character in The Exorcist was, and I'm being very serious.
Here I
tell. You know what I'm saying?
Will you want to put on me?
I don't have a 13-year-old daughter anymore.
But you did, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Well, I hope she is... I'm sorry to say this, Phil. It's a very hard thing to say, but you have made me angry tonight because the production value on your radio show is at an all-time low. I'm hearing phone bumps. I'm hearing hand, you know, the hand,
What, make a hand job?
Who said that? What?
Will you shut up, bud?
Shut up out of hand.
He didn't say what you thought he said, you dirty, filthy animal. He didn't say that.
What did he say? I demand to know.
You're not going to know. We've already chastised him.
But that's what I'm hearing here, okay?
But let's get back to this comment. You hope my 13-year-old... I don't have a 13-year-old daughter.
I know that, but you did, didn't you?
When she was 13.
Yes. So I hope she's possessed by a demon in the manner that Linda Blair's character was possessed in The Exorcist. And I hope it costs two priests their lives! That's how angry I am.
Well, that's about as crazy and as mentally deranged a statement as I've ever heard.
Well, Phil, I've been pushed to it by the crap can production values on your show, by the fact that I'm not being understood. I'm making your...
But the production values on my show aside, I don't think anybody has tried to misunderstand you on this program. I have heard what you're saying. You think that business people that do not, that don't go out and aggressively act because the wrong president was elected, you're calling them losers?
Absolutely.
Okay. And you've started a Quitter account for them. Not Twitter, but Quitter.
Absolutely.
Okay. And I'm simply saying to you, if you can get past the fact... And by the way, you know, and I'm even getting past the fact that you wanted my 13-year-old daughter possessed by a devil, even though she doesn't exist anymore.
What do you mean she doesn't exist? Boy, this is a good one. She doesn't exist, your own daughter?
She's 21 now, man.
I heard you, Phil. Are you hearing me?
Ted, he...
Could you please tell her to shut up, please?
You are not going to tell me to shut up. I can assure you, you are not going to tell me to shut up.
I'll say it again. Shut up.
Would you like me to come into Ted's of Beverly Hills tonight and bury the heel of this shoe, a high heel, in your eyeball? Would you like that?
Are you hurt? Okay. And I want a witness. You heard her, Henry. I'm holding you as a witness. Do you understand? Are you there?
Yeah.
You heard what she said.
I also know she's not serious.
Oh, is that right? So if I come walking into your studio later on and I got a high heel hanging out of my face...
Do me a favor, will you, Margaret?
I'll go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet.
Go to the toilet?
That's none of your business, you pig.
Okay, Ted, she's gone. Now let's calm down, okay? My daughter is 21. She's not 13.
I know. God, please, dear Jesus, I know. If Jesus, I'm not a Christian. I wouldn't be a Christian if he was gold plated off that cross. But by God, I'll convert tonight. I'll convert tonight if I could just get this idiot to understand that.
Okay, you call me an idiot. That's it.
Oh, wait a minute! Don't you dare.
So nobody gets to do that, okay?
Yeah, but you came on. You're loaded for bear.
Yeah, I think you were ready to fight with him, though. What was I saying that was so terrible? Yeah, I don't know. You just seemed like you had an attitude. I mean, Ted was right. Production value on this show is in the tank. And I do hear a lot of hand phone noise and slamming down, all that kind of stuff. And it didn't used to happen.
Yeah, what's going on with the show anyway?
Well, you idiots are helping me run it. Okay? And I'll tell you something else. When he called me an idiot, that was it. You know, he can say all he wants about my daughter being possessed by a demon. He can sit there and pray to God. Yeah. I mean, this guy is sitting there. He's offending everybody in my audience, including Christians, when he says, Jesus could be gold-plated down off the cross. I wouldn't be a Christian. However, you know, yes, he's gone, Margaret. Come in.
I don't let anyone talk to me like that. I know Ted. We've known Ted for many years. Frank and Ted are friends. But if Ted Bell thinks he speaks to me that way, yes, he will. He'll come wandering in here one night because he's got nothing else to do. He doesn't want to go home to his beautiful wife and son because Ted is almost bipolar. He's antsy. He can't go to bed before 5 a.m. He wanders the streets at night looking for kicks, looking for laughs. And as you know, Phil, sometimes he finds his way over to this studio.
Yes.
Well, one of these nights, he'll wander over here, and you'll notice a high heel hanging out of his eye socket. Thank you.
Yeah, will he know it's there?
Just let it sit where I left it, all right?
Yeah, but I think they're asking a good question. Ted obviously would know that he had a high heel.
Well, right, so he knows there's a high heel hanging out of his head, and he'd take it out.
And he still shows up here?
Yes. What is your point?
My point is, if he had a high heel hanging out of his...
Hold on. Why are you so nervous tonight?
I'm not nervous.
Yes, you are. But if you...
Yeah, you kind of did do that.
I'm not nervous. I'm talking to Margaret. And I said, if Ted Bell had a high heel hanging out of his eye socket, and he took it out...
Why are you talking to me as if I'm stupid?
Because you're talking to me as if I'm stupid.
Right there. Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. Mr. Henry...
What did I do?
You went, if. Do you have a migraine headache right now?
Yeah, remember the lady that had a migraine and she talked like she was wrecked?
Yeah, that one lady, she talked like half her head was wrecked. She talked like half her head was wrecked. That happened to be a migraine. The lady was reporting on some sort of, I think it was the Grammys. She was reporting for a local Los Angeles station. The poor child had some kind of a migraine that affected the neural pathways of her brain briefly. And she...
Thank you very much, Dr. Frankenstein, but we're not interested in what happened. Do you remember?
Yes, I remember her.
Thank you.
I remember her. Bud was asking me about her.
She was a young woman, Bud, that...
I'll do it. I'm the host of the show. She was a young woman, Bud.
That had a neural event.
I'll do it. She was a young woman, you know, that had a
neural event.
A neural event. Yeah.
And it caused confusion in her thinking and speech.
And it caused confusion in her thinking and speech.
Good thing you were here, Miss Gray. Help me out with that.
Anyway, thank you, Margaret.
You're welcome.
Ted Bell is not allowed on this program until he apologizes to me for calling me an idiot. Me. He can say anything he wants. I've allowed every kind of abomination under the sun onto these airwaves. I've allowed people to say things that no other radio show would allow. I've allowed Ted Bell especially, and you, Margaret, if you must know, to behave in ways that are just one step above the animal, the barnyard animal.
And what, pray tell, have I done?
Vomiting right here on the floor multiple times, vomiting in the bathroom without closing the door, using the toilet without closing the door, excuse me for saying, releasing or breaking wind here in the studio while we are working, and then getting up and leaving and saying, oh, it's natural, and basically doing those things and thinking that it doesn't make for an uncomfortable work environment. Yes, you, Margaret, you've done all of that.
I won't threaten you with the high heel because I know that you think I'm kidding. I'll just let it happen. And when it does, you won't believe it's happening even while it's happening.
Okay.
And you're laughing. Oh.
It sounded kind of funny.
It sounded funny to me, too.
You know, Margaret, it's pretty amusing to think of Ted Bell wandering in here after a long night of work with his eye socket bleeding and broken and his eyeball missing after you jammed a high heel into it and he didn't notice it. You know?
Well, I don't know about Ted. Maybe he would, maybe he wouldn't. I asked you a simple question. What would you do if you saw him wander in here and all he had pouring out of his right or left eye was eyeball fluid and blood? And
will you come on, please? 877-876-7445 is the world-famous Phil Henry Show. What do you got?
Hold on. Yeah, okay. Mr. Bells, did you say sorry?
Yeah?
All right, Bill, look, you know you're right. I'm sorry, I didn't mean to call you an idiot. That was dirty pool. That was wrong of me. I didn't mean to call you an idiot. All right? But I don't take back the prayer, the fervent prayer, to whatever God you worship. As you know, I'm an atheist, but I'm not an atheist that's hostile to the notion of God. I'm open to the idea of God. And that's why I said, if Jesus, you know, I don't care, but I would believe in God. I would believe in God if you would understand what it is I'm saying.
I don't know what you don't think I understand. I'm hearing you. And you're saying that Obama's presidency is not affecting you?
No. That's not that. It's not that. It is the idea. Well, now I forget. You know.
Well, so do I. And this is what this is a proof positive that when you are focusing on you know, insulting somebody as you were,
and you were focused on being insulted.
Yeah, but you see, Ted, you made it about how what an idiot I am, and I didn't understand you. Now, let's get back to Quitter, shall we? And we have to take a break.
All right, let me tell you about Quitter.
We have to take a break.
Why do you always do that?
I told you that we got to take a break. We'll be right back with Ted Bell on his new website, Quitter, for all of the business people out there that think Obama being reelected president is going to have a profoundly negative impact and effect on their business. 877-876-7445. It is the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
It's the Phil Henry Show. All right, we're going to try and get into some of the Petraeus stuff a little bit later on in the program, but first,
Ted's of Beverly Hills Steakhouse, come on down.
I'm down to Ted's of Beverly Hills because I got news for you. Good news for everyone coming into Ted's of Beverly Hills. You're making my business so successful, whether or not Obama's president, I don't care, that
here
we are going to.
Hold on. We wanna put our meat in your mouth.
Every day until Christmas is going to be Christmas, so we're rolling out, Phil, the baked potato tree early, okay?
All right, so the baked potato tree, which is usually a Christmas thing.
Usually a Christmas thing, right? We're rolling out the baked potato tree. It's going to be rolled out early, and that means you bring the kids in, they pick out their own baked potato at Ted's in Beverly Hills.
Now, what's the big deal with that?
Boy, I'll tell you.
I'm just asked.
Margaret, just, you know.
Well, what's the big deal with a baked potato tree?
It happens to be one of the signature promotions of my company. That's what. What's the big deal with a baked potato tree?
What is the, I don't understand the concept. The children come in.
Oh, you don't understand. You understand what you know what a potato is, right?
Do I know what a what?
Do you know what a potato is?
Obviously she does, Ted.
No, well, obviously she doesn't.
I don't understand. What is a baked potato tree?
I have baked potatoes hanging on a tree, and the kids pick one off and we cook it. All right? No big thing, no big deal, very easy, no fuss, no muss, but you got to come on and you got to open your mouth and you have to turn what has been a 15-year tradition at Ted's of Beverly Hills into a big fat joke.
I didn't do anything, Ted. I was just asking you what it was.
It's a baked potato tree.
And they're all covered in foil.
Yes, they're all covered in tin foil, which is a, by the way, something that my father started in the mid-70s, covering baked potatoes in foil. He started it. all right? Not you, not any of your friends. He did. And?
Well, I can tell you that my father was using tinfoil on baked potatoes when I was a child in the 60s.
No, he wasn't. No, he was not. Please don't lie. Please don't do that.
Ted, but you know, Ted, this has been a controversy for a long time.
No, it hasn't been a controversy. Only on your show is it a controversy, Phil. Every time I come on your show, there's a controversy about who developed the tinfoil or the aluminum foil-covered baked potato. My father did, and we carried on the tradition.
And when did your father originate this?
What am I being interrogated here?
You know something, Ted? If you're going to make a claim that is so absolutely unprovable...
Well, you can't prove that your father was putting foil on a baked potato, can you?
I know that I remember that my father put foil on a baked potato.
Oh, you know, that's not proof at all. It's not proof at all. You can ask my customers that have been coming in since the 70s when my dad owned the restaurant. We've been putting foil on baked potatoes. You ask them. Okay? You ask them.
All right. Well, let's get Mavis Leonard on the phone. Robert, your aunt is here, right?
Yeah, I got my aunt calling up. She want to talk to Ted Bell about Romney and about Obama.
Okay. We're going to talk with Mavis Leonard about Romney and about Obama. And Mavis, how are you doing? You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil, I'm doing very good, and I want to say hello to Mr. Bell. How are you, sir?
I'm very good, ma'am.
I want to ask you a question.
Have you ever been to my restaurant?
Have I ever been here? I've never, ever in my life have I ever been in your restaurant. No, sir, I have not. No, sir, I have not.
I just was wondering if you'd ever been in my restaurant, if you'd remembered my father, Ray Bell, who started Ted's of Early Hills. And
why did he call it Ted?
Because that was his partner.
He didn't name it after you?
No, he did not. He didn't want me associated with the restaurant at all. Because my father didn't think that I was his son. My father believed that I was actually the son of another business partner of his.
So your father saw your mother gave birth to you by way of another man.
That's yes. You see, I didn't want to...
Ted, I didn't know any of this.
I didn't want any of that to come out. I'm sorry.
Ask enough questions, and you got me to say that the guy's... My father's name is Ray.
I thought you were Ted Jr.
That's what I thought.
Well, did I ever say I was Ted Jr.? When I said Ted Jr., I was talking about something else. Now I've got a... God, Henry, how's...
When you were talking about Ted Jr., you were talking about something else.
Yeah. Do you have to spell everything out for the ladies?
Mr. Bell, I don't care. I'm on this phone. I'll call up because I want to make a comment about what you said about Obama.
Okay.
Unless you're going to sit there and pout about all this Ray Bell, Ted Bell, and Ted Jr. You want to say, you got your mind on Ted Jr., I'd just as soon hang the phone up.
My mind is not on Ted Jr., no.
Well, who is Ted Jr.? Is that you?
You might say, yeah.
All right, will you get off of that, Ted Jr.? Your father's name is Ray. You just let the cat out of the bag that you are, that he thought that you were the illegitimate son of another man, correct?
Yes, correct.
But you are indeed your father's son.
Yes.
Your mother must have felt real good about your father's suspicions.
Do we have to talk about this? The lady called up and she wanted to...
Mr. Henry, why don't we just move on? I'd like to talk to Mr. Bell about Obama. Now,
I'm fine with that.
Now, Ted, you said that you are a successful businessman, and you said, I voted for Romney.
All right, that's your right, your constitutional right.
That's exactly right, my constitutional right. But it is not my constitutional right to have a man elected president of the United States that I want to be president. That's not my constitutional right. And now I'm stuck 4 more years of this chump change, Obama.
But you call him chump change.
Hold on. My husband, God rest his soul, Robert's uncle, he owns 3 BP stations in Southgate, California in the 1970s. He had 3. Now, I know BP right now is barely a company because they flood out the Gulf with all that oil. But my husband had 3 BP stations. They're very successful stations.
All right, ma'am.
Tonight, Barack Obama is going to ruin BP. He's going to take them out. He is taking out BP. He's destroying them.
Are you kidding? BP had a big oil spill.
I don't care they had an oil spill. My husband owned 3 gas stations, and Barack Obama is responsible to take them out. I think Barack Obama is the worst president we ever had. And
Wait. BP did it to themselves, okay? BP did it to themselves.
Well, then BP didn't do anything themselves. They had an oil rig blow up in the Gulf of Mexico, and Barack Obama now, he hit them with a felony on manslaughter, all kind of fine. He tried to make BP look like a horse's ass backing out of a barn, and all they did was try to get more oil on American people. My husband had 3 BP stations. He was very successful. We had a lot of money. You understand me? We had a lot of money. Guess who president was?
I don't know.
Jimmy Carter. And he's about the worst you could ever find. So I know you can make money if you got a bad president. But I didn't know you could make money with a president trying to take down a big company like a Barack Obama did at BP. He tried to take them down and hold them. Burn them out and run them off.
Well, ma'am, I don't buy your math. I don't buy your assessment of history. I think British Petroleum did it to themselves. And kudos to your late husband for owning the 3 BP stations. But let me ask you a question. Where are all the BP stations now?
I think Barack Obama got rid of them.
What?
Barack Obama got rid of BP stations. My husband will lie today.
Well, you know what? Now we have Shell stations.
My husband wouldn't own a Shell station. He wouldn't own a Shell station anymore, and he put your meat in his mouth. So you tell it.
All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
How dare you? How dare you?
I want to put your meat in my mouth. I've never heard anything like that. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Well, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A couple of notes concerning just some business to take care of. Number one, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show website, philhendryshow.com, very soon will be providing for your iPad and your iPhone live streaming of our video casts, as well as the on-demand media, video media, that you are now able to receive if you have an iPhone or iPad. This is all part of our push toward giving our website not only access to those who use droids and people with desktops and so forth, but everyone with Apple products, which does not, as you know, use Flash Player, we can make available to you our media. It is now available to you on demand and will be by way of the live stream. So, you know, we are mobile, live and on demand in a very very few short days, because I was just talking to the guys today, and it's moving along swimmingly, as they say. Now, get a backstage pass, so all of this is available to you at philhendryshow.com. It is a beautiful price, man. It's still the cheapest. I think it's one of the cheapest deals on the internet. It ain't porn, but it's damn close, man. That's what we like to say. You can either invest in a porn site, which I know many of you do, or the next best thing, our website. So either just you know, look at whatever it is they're showing you on your favorite porn site, or laugh yourself sick. Because as we say, if laughter heals, we cure cancer.
Hey!
My God, who thought up that one?
I did.
That was Buds.
That was pretty good. I like it.
I don't know. I think it's disrespectful.
Yeah, I figured you'd say disrespectful. It's not.
I didn't say disrespectful.
I thought it was good. If laughter heals...
No. If laughter heals, we cure cancer.
I got it.
Well, Margaret, sorry that you didn't think of it. I thought it was very good. So,
am I making an issue out of the fact that I didn't think of it? I just didn't think that it was very respectful, given the fact that there are people that die from cancer. And so if your website cures cancer, I guess it's not doing it good enough.
They better get a backstage pass, or you'll die of it.
Yeah, if you don't want to get a hole in your throat and talk like Roboto, get a backstage pass.
If you don't want to...
Oh, boy, Robert, I can't believe you said that.
What? That is true. You want to go around like my uncle, going, "Hey, how you doing, RC? Good to talk to you."
Yeah, I've never been better than talking like that.
Yeah, my uncle goes, "Hey, RC, why don't you go get me another Diet Coke?"
Your uncle has a voice box?
Yeah, he had a laryngectomy or whatever they call it.
Yeah, a laryngectomy.
A laryngectomy? It's called a laryngectomy.
Yeah, that's what he had. So he's always going around, "Hey, RC, why don't you go down to Denny's and get me the Grand Slam?" To go.
Oh, well, no, RC, don't make fun of him, okay?
No, I swear to God, that's what he sounds like. I went over to his house one day. He's all, "Hey, what did you do?"
"Hey, Robert, is that your motorcycle outside?" Or are you just glad to see me?
Yeah, I don't know what that meant.
No, neither do I.
No, neither did he. I mean, neither did he.
All right, so your uncle has a hole in his throat, or excuse me, had a laryngectomy from cigarette smoking, right?
I don't know if it's from cigarette smoking, but I know it was from cancer, and,
Well, that's generally what it's from.
Yeah, so, I told my uncle that if he listened to your show, he would not have the, well, he probably still would have had cancer, because he was listening to your show even before he got cancer.
He was listening to my show, your uncle.
Yeah, he loves your show.
Okay, fine, but he was listening to my show and he still got cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got cancer, and I guess it didn't cure him, but at least he's alive.
Oh, so now he has a voice box, but that's thanks to Phil.
Yeah, I mean, you know, like, my uncle's, well, yeah.
Well, that's not much of a recommendation, okay? Laughter heals, but we cure cancer, and your uncle's walking around with a voice box. That's great.
Hey, Phil, don't take it personal.
All right, real funny. Anyway, welcome back to the program. So get yourself a backstage pass. You do that at philhenryshow.com. That's philhenryshow.com. We're also at our Facebook fan page, which is facebook.com/philhenryfans. And we got all kinds of stuff going on there, morning, noon, and night. We've got our quote of the day. We have our throwback Thursday. We can see a photograph of me as a youngin. We also have our flashback Fridays. You know, lots of stuff that's happening over there. And we even gave away a shot glass, and I want to give public acknowledgement to Rick Anderson. And Rick is one of our Facebook fans and friends, and he was the one who suggested Singing the Sunshine, Margaret.
Oh, Rick was the one that suggested that. Congratulations, Rick. Now, I wanted to mention to you, Phil, that I'm working on a very special song. I don't want people to know what it is, and I don't want them to know what it's for. But we've got some big things happening.
We do. We've got some very big things. See, I told you we got some big things happening, and you're sitting here worried about Bobby Dooley. You know, we've got a lot of stuff coming up, and so I very, very strongly suggest that you stick close to our radio show as well as to our other announcements. The podcast, I can't tip my hand right now. I will tell you, though, that we do have our Phil Henry podcast, and you can check it out. Episode 71 is online now at iTunes and at philhenryradio.com, and you can listen to our new podcast. Who is on the podcast today, bud?
I think it's the guy that, I forget. Why?
Oh, will you knock it off?
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Anyway, check out episode 71 of our podcast. I have no idea who's being featured. Now, dig this. This is what's going on. This is what's happening in the Republican Party. And I'm sorry, but I just think this is marvelous. I think this is exactly what the Republican Party needs. I think this is exactly what they should have had happen to them. Louisiana Governor Bobby Jindal, a rising Republican star who stumped for Mitt Romney repeatedly on the campaign trail, assailed the failed presidential candidate for his remarks to donors on Wednesday that President Obama was reelected because of gifts to minorities, young people, and women. Now, that comment that was made by Romney, that Obama got reelected because of gifts to minorities, young people, and women, is basically Romney saying the following thing. And this has been a typical Republican Party pitch for a long time. This has been the Republican Party pitch for a long time. That minorities and women and young people all can be bought. And that's why Republicans lose elections, because they don't go out and buy minorities, young people, and women. So even though Romney is a very bright businessman, when it comes to his actual communication skills with the people that he's trying to draw to him, he's about as stupid as the day is long. Because what he said was, the Democrats go out and buy these people. Well, that means they can be bought, which essentially is saying what a lot of people have suspected for a long time. The Republicans think minorities and women and young people, if you want to get right down to it, are sort of inferior people. Now, that's what that is. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to see it. You may think that it's all... That's exactly what a dumbass like Romney is saying when he says something like that. And yes, even though he's a successful businessman, he can still be a dumbass. And I'll tell you why. You can make all the money in the world, man, but if you can't walk out your front door and talk like a human being to other people and relate to them, as a president, as a candidate, as whoever, then you don't deserve to be president of the United States. You may not even mean it, man, but you got to at least put on like you mean it. Put on like you care about people. So Jindal said that that was absolutely wrong, and he said, and I quote, "We've got to stop dividing the American voters," because that's what that is. That's dividing people and saying, well, we didn't go out and give gifts to minorities, young people, and women. Well, who didn't? You didn't give gifts to them. You didn't give gifts to anybody. But the Democrats gave gifts to minorities, young people, and women, and so the Democrats won minorities, young people, and women. Because you're saying that's why you lost. The only people that didn't get any gifts, I guess, would be white men. That's what you're saying. And so Romney has just, you know, perfectly cast the Republican Party the way everybody has seen the Republican Party, and he's pretty much made it official. He's pretty much made it official. Of all the people that we don't give gifts to, it was the blacks or the minorities, if you will, the women and the young people who did get the gifts, and therefore they voted Democrat. Now, what he doesn't say here is that had there been gifts given to white guys, maybe they would have voted Democrat too. He doesn't mention that. Because that would essentially mean there's nobody left to vote Republican, and you don't want to admit to that. So you will admit to the fact that you've got a core constituency, which is white men. Ain't nothing wrong with that. Some of my best friends are white men. I grew up around white men, and they're fine as far as it goes. But, you know, I don't know about you. I like a little diversity.
Yeah, but I mean, how much diversity? You know, I vote for Romney, and I'm not a woman. I'm not a minority.
That's what he's saying, man. You don't have to. The people that didn't vote for him are minority and women and young people.
Yeah.
Don't you understand?
No, he doesn't understand. He's about as dumb as the day is long.
What do you mean, dumb? I voted for Romney.
Yes, you voted for Romney, and you're not a minority. You're not a young woman. You're not a young person, and you're not a woman. And so, therefore, you are the typical guy that voted for Romney. White guy. Do you understand?
Oh.
Yeah. That's what he's saying. That's what he's admitting to. And that's what Bobby Jindal said was what killed Republicans in this election, and it's what's been killing them for a long, long time, and they're too dumb to figure this one out. It's like Democrats were too dumb to figure out that people were getting sick and tired of the concept of a welfare state or of handouts. Democrats have gone a long way, maybe not as long as some people want them to. They've gone a long way to try to draw that image, to try to, you know, speak to that and work out welfare reform and things like that. I mean, they've done other things that are equally dumb, and, you know, Democrats have got to figure out that that they got to stop with the idea government is there every day, morning, noon, and night. No matter how good times we have, no matter how good the economy is, no matter how flush everybody is, the government has still got to start doing stuff for people. Government don't have to do anything for anybody if they don't need to, man. R.C. Collins joining us from Bradley Military Academy to give us an overview of how things at Bradley Military Academy are faring since the elections. And Bradley, I mean, R.C. up there at Bradley, I know that your friend Watson is with you. How are you guys hanging? I know you're not voters yet. You're not yet old enough, but you are at a military academy, and as such, you're sort of interested in the future of America.
Yeah, Mr. Henry, students here at Bradley and the cadets here at Bradley Military Academy are willing to accept whoever the commander-in-chief is going to be, and we do feel that President Obama, he went a long way in getting Osama bin Laden in, ensuring that our faith in the President of the United States. I will say, just for me and also for a lot of my friends and, you know, the group of us that do communicate and associate together, that we are disappointed that our generation will not be given the honor of going to get Osama bin Laden. But he has been guided by the Navy SEALs, and of course we're very proud of that.
So you guys are happy because you're loyal, but who was the guy that most of you wanted to see win?
Well, I think that probably, you know, if you were to ask us, and honestly, the answer to that, I'd say that is probably Romney, because Romney has the image of being more, I guess, more of American values and everything. I know my father, who came down, we had a weekend, family weekend, and my dad came down from the Bay Area and really expressed his opinion to the cadets that I was with, we had a father cadet dinner, that he hoped that Romney would be elected president, and that, you know, he didn't want to, but he did know some very committed conservatives that were willing to commit suicide, you know, which I thought...
Whoa, what are you talking about?
Well, some of the people that my father knows are pretty conservative, and some of them expressed the desire to die rather than live in a world that's not dominated, you know, by a Republican Party, and they'd rather die than have Obama. But that's pretty standard among a lot of conservative business people. And
whoa, wait a minute.
No, that is not.
Oh, we got to take a break. I want you to hang on with me, okay, R.C.?
Well, yeah, and Watson's here, too, and he wanted to say some things about Michael Myers.
Yeah, well, he'll get to say whatever he needs to say. We'll be right back. R.C. Collins with us saying that there were friends of his father's who expressed the desire to commit suicide rather than live in a world where Obama's president. Get a load of that. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch.
And about the Michael Phil Henry Myers, Show. Too.
Yeah, and we're going to talk about Michael Myers, too.
Thank you.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. On the line with me is, what happened to, oh, Lord, man. We have a black screen here. Did you see that?
Yeah, what happened if there's no...
Take it easy, will you, bud? God. RC, are you there? Can you just hang with me for just a second, okay?
Yeah, Mr. Henry, we're here, and we want to make sure you're...
No, just hold on for a minute, okay? So essentially what I did was I blew it here. I took down our green screen, which is our ocean view, and I apologize for that, ladies and gentlemen. Here we go. Ah, yes. All right. And what does this restart?
I think you have to restart the computer to the installation of your Java update.
Can I ask a question here, please?
What?
Why are we doing an update of Java and restarting computers in the middle of this damn show?
But, Sid, you want to update?
Don't do updates, man, while I'm doing the show, okay? You start to restart computers, we lose connection with everybody. All right, R.C. Collins with us. So, R.C., how are you?
Yes, sir, I'm doing fine.
Okay, your father has friends in the business community that are going to do what?
Expressed a desire to commit suicide if Barack Obama was reelected to the president of the United States. And I think that that's pretty standard among a lot of conservative voters or a lot of conservative businessmen. I think that they were very motivated, you know, against having Obama be elected or not elected or President Obama. I'm trying to keep from saying Obama because it was a common mistake I made.
Yeah, that's all right. We had a guy on our show, Bud.
Yeah, I did the same thing, R.C.
Yeah, I know. It's pretty... Sometimes it came out that way, and I would concentrate on not saying Obama, and I'd say elected. You know, Mr. Henry? You know?
No, I don't know. I don't know how that works, but, you know...
Well, it's not like I'm some kind of mental deficient or anything.
Yeah, you thought I was mentally deficient when I said Obama, too.
I just don't know why Obama translates into saying belected, so that's cool, though. That's fine. Now, you have with you your friend Watson. What's the story?
I'm sorry?
What's the story with your friend? You wanted to...
Oh, yeah. Well, Watson's here. What do you want to know?
I want to know why you're blowing it off.
Well, I mean, Watson wants to know why you're blowing off the fact that there's a lot of Republican businessmen who went out and popped their cork after Obama got... Not elected, but got elected.
Why they did what?
Why they committed suicide.
Is that what pop their cork means?
Well, yes, sir. Why did they pop? Yeah, why they...
I don't know why they did that. I don't know why it's true. Are you telling me that there's friends of your father?
Well, yes, sir. There's friends of my father that committed suicide.
There's friends of your father that committed... You're being serious.
Well, that's what Father told me and my other cadet friends. Father had a round table of some of the more motivated cadets.
Your father had a round table with some of the more motivated cadets?
Yes, sir.
And why did your father have a round table with the more motivated cadets?
Well, I mean, hold on for a minute. Could you ladies take it? Tell them shut up. The kitchen staff is sitting here all, they're talking everything.
Well, shouldn't you guys be in bed? Isn't there a lights out or?
Well, yes, sir, for underclassmen, but not for us.
Okay. So go ahead. Your father had a round table with some of the more motivated cadets.
Yes, sir. Father had a round table with the cadets that he identified as he felt had a particularly more motivated interest in the well-being of our country. And it was at that time that Father did then, at that time, then, you know, did thus say that he was aware, although he was not of a like mind, that he was aware that there are some actors, or not actors, but I mean business people, and maybe some actors too, I don't know, some conservative actors, that would commit suicide if Obama was reelected.
Yeah, I know of people like that too.
Watson said he knew of people like that too. And what did Ted tell Mr. Henry Watson?
But your father, before you hand the phone to Watson, so you're saying that this actually happened?
Well, yes, sir, as far as I know.
I think Michael Myers is a Republican.
Watson says that Michael Myers is a Republican.
Yeah, rip his head off and crap down his...
Yeah, I know, Watson, you told me that already. Michael Myers of Halloween, right?
Yeah, Michael Myers of Halloween. Michael Myers is a Republican.
I rip his head off and crap down his neck.
All right, yeah, I get that. Hang on, man, because I want to talk a little bit more about the Republicans that committed suicide after Obama was reelected, okay?
Well, I mean, I don't know their names or nothing or anything, but...
Okay, just hang on, okay?
Yes, sir.
Crap down Michael Myers' neck.
Okay, that's great, Watson. You do that, man. Wow.
That guy didn't... That guy's radical.
All right, we'll be right back. World-famous Phil Henry Show. Watson, RC's buddy. Michael Myers was a Republican, or is...
I'm a chairman who am.
Phil Henry.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. R.C. Collins, you there?
Yes, sir.
Okay, I thought we lost the line. We have R.C. Collins on the line from Radley Military Academy. And Margaret Gray is with us, Robert Leonard, as well as Bud Dickman. And we were talking about your father, who had made the claim. Your father doesn't want to mention any of these people. Your father making the claim that he knows Republican businessmen who committed suicide after Obama was elected.
Well, yes, sir, but I don't know that that's all that unusual. I think you will find in a great many motivated political camps, very motivated ideological camps, you will find, Mr. Henry, that many of the more motivated or more extreme individuals in those camps will take their own lives, commit suicide, do an honorable act of self-suicidal, I mean, I don't know, you know, of self-suicidal. Tell him to shut up.
Hey, you, shut up.
I'm going to send Watson over. I'm going to send Watson over there, Mr. Henry, to crap down their neck.
All right, hold on for a minute. I don't necessarily find your friend all that funny. Do you understand?
Well, he's talking about Michael Myers.
Oh, that's fine. First of all, I find that disturbing because Michael Myers doesn't exist. You know.
No, I know that, but he's saying, well, Watson is saying if he does, in the off chance that he do. Okay, in the off chance that he do, that he'll crap down his neck. What's wrong with that?
There's no off chance that Michael Myers is alive, lives, or exists. Your friend is a little kooky, okay?
Well, I mean...
And the way he's talking to those women, are those the women that work in the cafeteria there?
Well, it's our mess hall, yes, sir.
Okay, and they're now chatting?
Well, yes, sir. I mean, they're interfacing with me. Or they're not interfacing, what do you call it?
They're interrupting you?
Well, yeah, they're interrupting me, and so...
Yeah, look, I gotta break the conversation off with you, man. No, I don't. Hold on for just a minute, if you don't mind, RC. I'm having a problem with the computer. It's asking me if I want to restart.
What, restart your computer? Why?
Because there's updates that were installed by mistake by Bud Dickman, and now the computer wants to restart, and I don't want it to restart because we'll lose our line to you. All right, R.C. Collins and Cadet Watson, what is your friend's first name?
Well, I mean, it's nothing that... It's what we say, we call, if you want to call it, it's the unnameable. You know?
What does that mean? What is your friend's first name?
Magnus. But that's the same name that Elizabeth Banks just gave her baby, and it's also the name of the vampire that indoctrinated Vampire Lestat in the Vampire Lestat book. Hello?
No, it's fine, man. I'm going to ask you the question again if you don't want to answer. What's his birth name? What's his given name?
Well, what's your name? Alvin? Alvin?
All right, Alvin Watson.
Yeah.
Well, then why don't you tell me?
Because the name that he acquired when he took on the mission, well...
Look, R.C., you're not goth anymore, okay? You're not back there in Chatsworth.
No, I know that, Mr. Henry. Hold on for a minute. Give me a sip of that 5-hour energy, will you?
Yeah, okay.
Okay, Mr. Henry, I know that I'm not goth no more, but the name that Watson took is the name for his mission, which is to crap down Michael Myers' neck.
Oh, that's his big mission, huh?
Well, I mean... That's not the whole mission, but that's what we call it Operation Neck Crap. And
all right, thank you very much. We will update you on just how many Republican businessmen in the Bay Area committed suicide after President Obama was elected. God,
what is this Watson individual?
Watson is another cadet that is up there at Bradley that the kid befriended.
Yeah, that guy's radical, though. I didn't think it was great.
Yeah, if we had a whole army of Watson, we don't have to worry about Russia, China, nothing.
I think the young man is obviously disturbed.
Well, I don't know if he's disturbed. He's a kid he's making noises about kicking the crap out of Michael Myers. So what?
Did you not hear that young man say that this so-called his name is Alvin?
Alvin Watson, yeah.
Well, did you hear him say that he thinks this Michael Myers exists?
I heard R.C. say that in the off chance that Michael Myers exists. As far as I know, these two kids are putting me on. I don't know. You know, but I did take exception to him saying to the women that work in the mess hall there that he's going to crap down their necks. That's, I found, unacceptable. And that's why I told him to watch his language. I think the two of them are just a couple of clowns, and they're up there, and they're bored to tears, and they don't have to... There's no curfew for them because they're upperclassmen.
Well, what kind of a military are we teaching our young men to be disciplined by? If
I don't know, but they don't have the same curfew as the underclassmen, so they're still awake. It's 11:30 at night here on the West Coast. They're on a payphone there in the mess hall. They're talking to me about Michael Myers and crapping down his neck and a bunch of other stuff. What do you want from me? Okay,
God, Mr. Dan, you have to get off. Pissed off?
Well, I am pissed off. You're asking me answers to these questions I don't have. That's the situation. All right. In other situations around America, we told you how to... This Bobby Jindal story. Now we got CIA Director Petraeus.
Oh, this is going to be good. He's going to be testifying tomorrow.
Yes. David Petraeus is set to head to Capitol Hill tomorrow, or it could be today, wherever you are listening to us, to testify before the House Intelligence Committee about the September 11th attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi, Libya, that led to multiple deaths. Petraeus, who resigned last week after disclosing the extramarital affair, is expected to defend the CIA's actions during the attack that killed U.S. Ambassador Christopher Stevens and three other Americans. I don't think, personally speaking, I don't think there's any excuse. I don't think there's any excuse. I think that we should be intelligent enough, smart enough, we should be good enough as a country. This doesn't take a lot, folks. You've got people who are a part of your diplomatic mission there. You know where they are. You know what they're supposed to be doing. You know at all times, if anybody anywhere in the world knows what's happening in any individual country, it's the U.S. mission in that country. So I don't think that there's any real excuse as to why these people were not pulled out of there. I don't give a damn whether they want to be there or not. I could care less. At some point, you got to make the call, get them out of there. I think that's the Secretary of State. I mean, if you're talking about Petraeus and all of this bullcrap that's been surrounding this thing, you know, why did he resign? Well, he had to resign because of the affair, because he's the head of the CIA, because it's a very sensitive position, because it can be compromised by foreign agents and foreign governments. Of course he has to resign. So that's question number one out of the way. I thought that when I came up with that one, I was the last guy to get it. I thought I was the dumbest guy in the room, that I didn't understand that, because everybody else obviously understood it. Well, no, they didn't, man. Day two, they were still arguing about that one. So, of course, he has to resign. Number two, you know what I think this is about?
What?
I think this is another lesson in just how stupid we are when it comes to the Internet. I'm telling you right now how dumb we all are when it comes to the Internet. Here's an Army intelligence officer, this Broadwell. This is this Paula Broadwell, who's having an affair with David Petraeus, okay? All right, just follow me on this one. She sends an email to this Jill Kelly, an anonymous email under the account Kelly Patrol. That's what this Broadwell called her account that she sent to this Jill Kelly. Kelly Patrol. And in some way, shape, or form, under the heading of Kelly Patrol, she warned this woman off of any contact with this General Allen, I believe. Now, this is being sent by a woman who was an Army intelligence officer at one point. I don't know how many years, but she worked for the intelligence arm of the United States Army. That means intelligence gathering. That means whatever espionage or undercover or deep cover work the Army does, that's where they do it, you know. And, of course, it's all coordinated, one hopes, by the Defense Intelligence Agency, which is under the aegis, of course, of the Defense Department, which is ultimately controlled by the executive branch, which is the CIA.
Don't those guys are CIA. Why do they call it something different?
Because everybody's got everything. There's the Army has intelligence. You've got Navy intelligence. You've got the State Department guys. You've got the Defense Intelligence. You've got the CIA. You got the FBI. You got the... you know what I mean?
All the way to the FBI.
Exactly. So, having said all of that, this woman, who is supposedly educated in the ways and the means and the this and the that, she's so stupid, she's sending emails... a veiled sort of threat that this Kelly woman then hands over to, I guess, the FBI. She alerted the FBI, said, I'm getting threatening email. You got a woman here who takes very seriously the fact that Petraeus, or whoever the hell the dumbass, excuse me for saying this, General Petraeus, because I know the poor guy has taken his hits, but, sir, with all due respect, you know, a lot of people respected you. I'm one of them. A lot of people thought that you had been treated unfairly the first time you went before Congress. I'm one of them. A lot of people thought that you're a much better man than you were given the respect for. I'm one of them. Now you come along and what a stumbling, muttering.
Yeah, well, the guy had an affair with her.
We know that.
We know that. What I'm trying to determine here is what are you saying? Are you saying that she was not, obviously being a former intelligence officer, she wasn't acting very intelligently, sending these threats?
Obviously. The FBI is going to find out anything they want to find out. There's nobody, and I believe that we have, as I've said before, we have this idea that everyone is on the Internet, you know, you can hide, you're anonymous. You're not going to hide from the FBI. You're not going to hide from the FBI. You're not going to hide from law enforcement if they want to find you. It doesn't matter what kind of Internet footprint, how much obfuscation you try to come up with. The nature of a lot of the people who use the Internet, their very nature is that they can't shut up. And so they're ultimately going to say the wrong thing, and they're ultimately going to do the wrong thing, and bang, they're caught. Now, in the case of this Broadwell, she should have known better. But I just believe that so many people are going down for the count as a result of a dumb thing they did on the Internet. This guy Wiener, Anthony Wiener.
Yeah, guy Wiener, Wiener's Wiener.
Yeah, that's what everybody called him, Wiener's Wiener.
It really? Is that what everyone called it?
Oh, that's original.
Yeah, that's really original.
Yeah, that's what they called it.
Really? Well, that's great. I bet you they had to stay up all night thinking of that one.
Well, I mean, Mr. Emmett, don't be jealous on account of you never thought of it.
You're right. I didn't think of it. I'm really jealous. Like, it wasn't the first thing that popped into my mind. In any event, this guy Wiener is one. The guy that was the professor at Columbia was another. And another and another and another. How many times have we got to find examples of dumbasses that slipped up online and said something they shouldn't have said, and it was the end of everything for them, okay? Now comes this Broadwell. Same thing. And I'm telling you, we are seeing people sunk by the dumbest behavior on the Internet that you would think they'd know better.
Well, I don't know. The Internet is still a very mysterious place for a lot of people.
Well, it shouldn't be a mysterious place for a farmer, number one.
I think it'd be a very mysterious place for a farmer. Number one person would be a mysterious to be a farmer.
You're right. Maybe I meant to say former. It's possible. For a former intelligence officer. And number two, it would be a mysterious place for a farmer who is number one otherwise. All right, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. More on the Broadwell Kelly emails and more on the Petraeus appearance tomorrow. And then more on Palestine getting its ass handed to it right now by Israel with all kinds of rocket attacks and exploding cars. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
What the hell is going on here?
This is from my exclusive sources, Phil. This is Margaret Gray for The Phil Hendry Show. This is a Margaret Gray exclusive. Jill Kelly shared a smooch with the two-timing General David Petraeus and sent explicit emails to General John Allen as more details emerge about her tight ties to these disgraced military men. I'm Margaret Gray, the raven-haired socialite, hosted Petraeus and his wife at an award ceremony in her Tampa home last summer with the soon-to-be CIA director planting a friendly kiss on her left cheek.
Well, big deal.
What do you mean, big deal?
Big deal! He kissed her on the cheek? You gonna try and tell me that that's some kind of a war crime?
Phil, the word we have now is that she might have done what we call in our business. All right.
We're waiting.
I don't like the way he's looking at me.
Bud, get out of here.
Why?
Just get out of here.
Him too.
Robert, what do you want to say?
Apparently this Kelly shared photographs of herself with John Allen that are what we call the lo-fi spread.
Lo-fi spread.
I heard that, man.
Why do you let them listen at the door?
Margaret, this is... You're not mommy and I'm not daddy and we're not running a household here. These guys are part of my staff, okay? They're going to hear what it is you say.
All right, then I'll say it to all of your listeners, too.
We were on the air.
Why, you dirty...
Margaret, we were on the air. You heard the bumper music. You heard the open. Don't give me this why you dirty anything.
Well, all right, I'll say it to all of your listeners. This Jill Kelly sent out lo-fi spread shots...
Got a lo-fi spread.
That's right.
What do you call a lo-fi spread?
Three guesses. The first two don't count.
Are you saying that they were...
Oh, look at you. What, do you want to see pictures?
Yes, I would. I would from the standpoint of... What are we talking about? If they're cheesecakey kind of, you know, cutesy-poo, that's one thing. If you're talking about some kind of...
That's exactly right, Phil. Do you remember the pictures you say you used to find on railroad tracks when you were a kid, and you take them home and dry them out by hanging them on a clothesline inside you and your brother's bedroom? Do you remember that?
God, you remember all these stories, don't you?
You kidding me, Mr. Henry? You used to do that?
Why do you bring this up?
No, come on, tell us.
I think it's a very interesting story from your youth.
Yes, there was a railroad track that ran behind our house, and I used to walk down it, and for whatever reason, I would find all of these porn shots. I guess maybe the hobos are the guys that rode the boxcars or something. You know.
But where'd you find them?
We found all kinds of nude pictures laying along the railroad tracks, so my brother and I would take them home, because they were usually wet.
Yeah, I'll bet they were.
From the rain, okay? And we hung a clothesline in our bedroom, and we'd dry them out with a heater and just hang them up there until they were perfect.
And then you said you sold them. You said you sold them, didn't you?
What is this, anyway? Is this some kind of an interrogation?
Phil, didn't you say you sold them?
Yes, we did.
You sold the pictures, what you found?
Yes, what am I going to do with them?
Man, that's beautiful, Mr. Henry, that's beautiful. So you dried them out, hang on a clothesline, who'd you sell them to?
Oh, now we get the really filthy story. Did you sell these to younger kids?
Look, and I was a kid myself. What do you want, okay? We sold them for like a quarter.
You sold lo-fi spread?
Yeah. I wish I was around in your neighborhood. That'd have been bitching.
We were only like 11, 12-year-old kids ourselves, okay? Look, I don't know why, but we had a railroad track running behind. I lived in Arcadia, California, and across Colorado was a railroad track. So anybody that's from Pasadena, California, know this railroad track. And we used to go down this railroad track looking for stuff. I don't know what we thought we'd find. Guns, a dead bum, I don't know what. And we found these pictures. We'd regularly find magazine pictures of, like, you know, nude women and stuff. And
yeah, what were they like, Mr.?
Well, you got to understand, this was the 60s, so you didn't really see much in most of the Playboys that we stole. I mean, the ones that. In any event, these were pretty graphic for the time. So we would take these, and they usually were, like, you know, dirty or something. So we'd take them back to the house, and we'd rinse them off, and then we'd have to hang them up in this clothesline that we strung, and that we could take down really fast in case my mother walked in.
You know something? I'm glad I raised a very good boy who would never think to do such things.
Yeah.
Well, what does that mean?
Are you kidding me? There ain't a kid, any kind of kid, to do that.
Are you kidding me, Margaret? Come on.
My son, if I ever thought that my son was walking down a railroad track. That's what you said, didn't you?
Yes.
My God.
What's wrong with that?
What are you doing on a railroad track?
I'm a little boy. What do you think little kids want to do? Little boys want to walk down railroad tracks to see if there's, you know...
What are you looking for?
Well, I was looking for dirty pictures, because that's where we found the first ones.
And then you did what? You took them home and rinsed them off?
Yeah, because they were usually dirty. We'd rinse them off in the bathroom, and then we'd hang them up and dry them.
Then you stole it for, like, what, a quarter?
It depended on the quality.
On the quality? And what was a high-quality shot?
Look, Margaret, I'm embarrassed enough.
What was a high-quality shot?
It was... never mind. I'm done talking about this, okay?
Never mind, Mr. Ernie. I can guess.
And I don't want to talk to you about it either. Okay, are we all done now? We're way off the beaten path. And I'll tell you something else. You owe this lady an apology.
Why?
Because you're inferring that this Jill Kelly posed herself in shots similar to the ones that we'd find on railroad tracks and dry off and dry on a clothesline and sell to a kid for a quarter.
Look at you laughing. See how he degrades women? I hope all the women listening on the Phil Hendry...
Get out of there. Degrades women.
Maybe Jill Kelly went on Ladies What You Seen.
I doubt it, because she's, what, 39? So she wouldn't have been born yet. All right. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, just remember what the Swede said, man. My wife ain't been born yet.
My wife ain't been born. Yeah, the Swede did say that. All right, we'll be right back. My wife ain't been born yet. We'll be right back. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. More on the Petraeus scandal.
And what pictures Phil finds on railroad...
Get out of here. And more on the Petraeus scandal and Jill Kelly. And of course, if we do find the pictures of her, we'd be very happy to share them with you online at philhendryshow.com. We'll be right back.
Costs a quarter, though, to get a backstage pass.
More than a quarter.
You and your brother were a couple of little pigs, weren't you?
Just be careful how you talk about my brother.
Dirty little pigs.
Just shut up about it.
And you keep your mouth shut.
Shut up.
Phil Hendry. Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. This hour, Robert Green from Fraser Foods is going to be joining us. We're going to revisit a topic that we had initially explored with Bob a couple of years ago. He is the CEO of a major grocery chain. He's also a guy that has expressed over the years with us varying degrees of different problems and challenges being an employer with employees, including his own personal social life and the things that he has to deal with as the CEO of a company, as a man who is three times divorced, who is now single, is looking for a woman to share his life with and so forth, and how that all plays out in the workplace, especially when you have sexual harassment claims that can come to the fore, etc. We're going to be talking with him here in just a moment about that. Our number is 877-876-7445.
It's going to be about the Petraeus.
What?
It's going to be about Petraeus.
Yeah, is this about General Petraeus having this Bob Green?
Yeah.
What does having a grocery store clerk...
He's not a clerk. He's a guy who is a major he's a major businessman, and he's going to weigh in on a national topic. Okay? In any event, God.
Well, I don't know. You say that the man runs a grocery store, and he's going to be talking about General Petraeus and his dating ideas.
Yeah, I didn't know that either.
Don't worry about it. Our website, philhenryshow.com, every night has a show log posted of the things we've done on our show, or if you will, haven't done on our show, or if you will, perpetrated on our show. You can go to philhenryshow.com and read all about it, baby. In the coming weeks and in the coming months, you're going to see a profound redesign taking place on the Phil Henry Show website, because it's time. It's been about 3 years, and you're going to love it, especially my Backstage Pass members. There will be a members login area. We are going to have embedded video players so that you can see highlight clips of our show the night before, and these will be available not only to our subscribers, but also on a limited time to people who may not be subscribers. So you can take a look and see a little bit of what went on the radio show the night before in our video cast. You're also going to get the same great archive that you've had, which is just thousands of hours of exclusive content only available to our BSPs. You're going to get our video archive. You're going to have more access to more things at philhenryshow.com. So this is the home of the Phil Henry Show on the World Wide Web. Get a backstage pass at philhenryshow.com. Robert Green joining us tonight from Fraser Foods in Buena Park, California. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing very good, and thanks for having me on the program tonight. Enjoying it.
And thank you for being with us. You see this General Petraeus and the things that he is dealing with. You're a man that is the CEO of a large American business. He is a general, a former general in charge of, America's intelligence gathering arm, the CIA. But you guys are similarly challenged in many ways.
Well, if Phil, he is the, I would never in a million years compare myself to General Petraeus. He's a man that has, the security of an entire nation to worry about. I have a business to run. I've got 2,000 employees. So we have our challenges. But I think at the end of the day, you have to be very careful with who you associate with, no matter what you do. Even in your position, Phil, you want to make sure that you are not holding your own public image or your reputation or your public personality up to ridicule or to exposure by the wrong people. So we have to do the same thing.
As an executive, General Petraeus was an executive running the CIA. He is the boss of a great many people. Some 30,000 people, I think, work for the Central Intelligence Agency. And you have, as you mentioned, thousands of people. This man was involved in a sexual liaison that shocks us, not because he cheated on his wife. This happens in America. It happens in every country in the world. It's a sad reality when it comes to men, women, fidelity, so forth.
Of course.
But he's a man that had this liaison, this illicit or otherwise relationship, as the head of the country's, as you said, security arm, meaning a foreign government, and it has been done, can insert an individual, an agent, a deep cover agent, or an operative, or just somebody for pay, whose sole purpose is to compromise somebody like that sexually and obtain information.
Well, I feel you hit the nail right on the head, and that's why General Petraeus is a very, he's a disappointment, obviously, to those of us who love this country, and I love this country very much. He's a disappointment to those of us who respect the military and respect the people that put their lives on the line to defend this country in the intelligence service and in the service to our country in the armed forces. He's a disappointment to me personally to allow himself to be compromised by, in the way that he was compromised by a female. And I'm nothing against women, but of all the ways that you could become the unwitting tool of a foreign government, this is the most obvious. And how a man of intelligence and great achievement, a man that had helped this country win the war in Iraq, win the surge in Iraq, I should say, would allow himself to be used this way by this gal, I got to tell you, I'm very disappointed. I would never, and I think I speak for a lot of men, and I've had the experience. where you can be with a woman and she's going to be angry. She wants you to do something. That's essentially what women want you to do. They want you to do something in exchange for whatever it is they're giving you. It could be sex. I would never, ever, ever compromise myself or my country. And I'm very disappointed in General Petraeus.
Well, he didn't do anything. We don't know that he did anything to compromise the country.
But the mere fact that he allowed himself...
Right, right, right.
That he allowed himself to be involved in a sexual relationship with this woman. Women, Phil, and I can't believe that I'm saying this. I don't think I have to educate any man out there of experience, certainly, as to women. Women offer themselves to us, men... they offer themselves, they offer the intimacy of a physical, a pleasing and satisfying physical relationship in exchange for what? Security, for love, perhaps for information. I'm not saying that that's always the case, but every single woman wants something, and a lot of times it's love, it's an honorable thing, it's security, it's a home, or maybe it's just a little bit of information.
Well, what do you mean by information?
Well, it could be any information. It could be she wants to know something from you. In the case of a young lady that I was involved in, who had been one of our checkers, Roberta, who I had made the mistake of allowing myself to become intimate, and she wanted to know some information. And I said, I didn't want to tell her, and we were in this relationship. And
well, what information, if you can give me some... idea.
She wanted to know about she wanted to know some things about how much money I made a year, and I said I'm not going to tell you how much money I make every year. And that's when and she kept on pushing. She wanted to know, well, how much, how do you do this? How do you work the key punch? A lot of stuff that I wasn't going to tell her. And
well, I'm just curious. Was it highly sensitive?
No, to me, it was highly sensitive.
Well, give me an example, if you don't mind.
She wanted to learn. She wanted to take some more lessons or something on how to operate the. At that time, we were using a particular kind of checkout machine, a cash register.
Okay.
She wanted to know more about how to use it, and I said, I don't know what you mean. And she said, I'm using the cash register now, but I know you've got new ones. I'd like to somehow get some training in it.
Wasn't she working as a cashier?
Hold on for a minute, Phil. Yes, she was working as a cashier. But there I am giving her sex, or she's giving me sex, in exchange she wants what? She wants information.
Well, she's asking you about a machine she already works on. She's a checkout woman at your store.
Yeah. What's that supposed to mean?
Well, what it means is, what's the big deal if you tell her how to operate the machine better?
The big deal is that she's laying there after having just whatever she did. Now she's saying, okay, now quid pro quo. I'd like lessons in how to work my cash register machine. And I said to her, what is this anyway? And
well, wait. Maybe I don't understand. All right.
She offered, as we were, you want me to be graphic?
No, I do not want you to be graphic. No, I do not.
All right. Well, I don't want to be graphic either, but you're forcing me into being graphic. And,
well, I don't want you to be graphic, and I don't want to force you into being graphic. All right?
Well, let me just tell you this. She wanted to find out more about how to operate the cash registers that we were going to be putting in, and she said that she would blank, blank, blank me.
This is what I'm saying, Robert. I don't need this.
Hold on. I'm not saying what. Okay? But I told her no, no, no. And in order so that I would not enjoy what she was doing, I forced myself into screaming. I mean, this is what I had to do to get the message through to her, which was, shut up and don't ask me stuff that's highly sensitive.
I don't know what's highly sensitive, Bob, about a woman asking, you have an intimate relationship with her, and now she's asking you about cash register machines that you have in the store, and she's asking you, gee, I'd like to learn how to work it better. And you're saying, no, I won't tell you. And now you're saying something about a sex act, and you're screaming.
Yeah. What's wrong with that?
Well, what do you mean screaming?
Let me roll the tape.
What tape, man?
I've got a tape. Hold on. Ah! You hear that?
What was that supposed to be?
That's not supposed to be anything. That was me screaming bloody murder as she was performing blank on me. And I know what she was trying to do. She was trying to get me to tell her how to work the cash register machine better.
Was she trying to steal money?
I didn't say that, Phil.
All right, was she trying to steal money from the store? Was she trying to get the code to a safe? Was she trying to get the keys to your house?
No, sir.
All right, then all she was asking you about was a machine she already works on and how to work it better. We're going to be right back. We have to take a break.
I played for you a highly confidential tape, and now you're going to take a break.
That's right. Did you hear that scream?
That was absolutely the most jarring and nauseating, and by the way, I don't believe it for a moment.
That was weird.
The guy's screaming while... so he won't give her information about a cash register. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our
bitch.
You're
the guy that asked me to come on your show.
Phil Henry Show.
Hold on, I want to tell the audience a story. We're talking to Robert Green. Mr. Green is the CEO of Fraser Foods in Orange County, Buena Park. And Bob, you were talking about this young lady whose name I don't want to mention because the story gets a little more sensitive.
Well, Phil, I'm not trying to embarrass anyone. I came on the program to talk about this General Petraeus who allowed himself. This is the far worse problem. Wouldn't you agree?
Absolutely. And your personal problems with women, non-problems with women, wouldn't really interest me were it not for the fact that you're comparing yourself to women. You're saying that women are always trying to get information.
Women are trying to get information because it is the nature of a woman to trade. And maybe, you've often said that, and I heard what you said to Mr. Northcraft during the break, that I hate women. And
I'm sorry, sir, I didn't mean for you to hear that, and I...
Well, no, it's all right. I don't hate women, and I heard what you said. I don't hate women. I don't trust them, and that is not the same as saying I hate them. I don't trust them, and I know that they're always trying to weasel information. I think if you allow a woman to, she would, if she had the skills, she'd probably cut one of your testicles off and transplant it onto some better-looking guy that she's also shacking up with, and you may say that that is cynical of me. You may say that that makes me sound like I hate women, but no, I don't. And
what you just said there, then I would say you do sound like you hate women.
Where do you get off saying that?
If they had the skill, they'd cut one of your testicles off and transplant it onto a stud that they're shacking up with.
I don't think I'm saying anything that most men would not agree with.
I don't agree with it.
I understand that you don't agree with it, Mr. Henry, quote-unquote, because you're on the air, you have females listening. And you want...
No, I'm not trying to get in good with my female listeners. I'm telling you in all honesty, I do not believe that. Tell me about this drive-in movie theater.
The drive-in movie theater.
You mentioned you took this young lady, Roberta, to a drive-in theater.
Yes, that is absolutely right. I took her to the old Skyline movie theater. It's on the way back from Barstow. It's on the way back from Vegas. And I wanted to relax... Because, Phil, when you're in a high-pressure executive position like mine, you want to relax.
Okay, and you took her to a drive-in theater.
I said, would you like to go to a drive-in theater? She said, yes, I've never been to one. And they were showing, I don't know what they were showing. It was a triple horror bill, I think. It was Dawn of the Dead.
So all three were horror movies?
Yeah, they were horror movies. I think it might be fun. It'll remind us of being kids. And she said, yeah, it'd be fun. So we go into this drive-in in Barstow. A drive-in. When's the last time you went to a drive-in?
I haven't been to one in a lot of years. No, there are a lot of drive-in movie theaters are great. I went to one in St. Paul, Minnesota in 1993.
Yeah, and what'd you see?
We saw The Fugitive and Coneheads.
And it was a lot of fun, right?
It's a lot of fun to go to a drive-in theater.
So I said to Roberta, let's go. She said, sure. We pull in. They were showing Dawn of the Dead and the Bloodsuckers. There was something...
That's a real movie?
Yeah, The Bloodsucker's real. I've seen it three times.
Oh, yeah, The Bloodsucker's is real. I don't know, Phil. I'm not a horror movie fan. And I think the third one was demons or phenomena. It was one of these Italian. I know because the mouth was moving, but it looked wrong. That stopped, right?
I don't know what you mean.
Well, in other words, the actors were talking, but the words coming out, it didn't. They were English, and I understood it, but it didn't look like words that would come out of that guy. And that was the thing that I found horrific about it, but I'm not sure.
It was probably dubbed then.
Dubbed. That's, yeah. So I think it was Italian, although they were Japanese. Now that I think about it, they were Japanese people.
So it was a Japanese horror film.
It was a Japanese horror film, exactly. And I'm sorry I said Italian, but they had dark hair, and the first thought I had was they were Italians. And I know what it was. It was the one about the giant animal, the giant lizard.
Godzilla.
No, it wasn't Godzilla. It was Godura or Godzura. The guy said to me that the way to properly pronounce it is Godzura.
Well, then what was the... Was it Godzura, Godzilla?
Yeah, it was Godzura.
Okay, so Godzilla.
That's not the way you say it. And
all right, fine, Bob. And we're taking a lot of time up here. It's called Godzilla. It was made in Japan, not Italy.
Well, Mr. Henry, they had dark hair, okay?
Yeah, I can understand how you'd probably think that they were Italians, but no, those are Japanese.
Well, sir, I'm not here to do any racial profiling. If that's your kicks, you go and get your laugh somewhere else. I'm an American. I believe in all people. And
I'm not racially profiling anybody, Bob. What I'm trying to do is get us on track here as we talk with Robert Green from Fraser Foods about... tell me about the drive-in, please.
All right, so we're at the drive-in, and I said to her, Roberta, I said, Roberta, I'm pushing 40. I would appreciate it very much if we could have a drive-in experience. And she said, what? And I said, I think you know. And I leaned back in the seat. I put my arm up on the seat, and I leaned back. And I don't want to be graphic, but she said that would be fun. It would remind her of her youth.
I'm listening to you.
Well, make a long story short, this is when I said to her that I have to fire you. When she asked me, Mr. Green, and she looked up at me, can you tell me how to work the punch pad on the new machine? And I said, for the last time, Roberta, I'm not telling you jack squat. And that's when she bit down.
Okay.
Okay, that's...
Well, the whole story is very unseemly, and I can't even believe I let you tell it.
Unseemly? She bit...
I agree. Mr. Green, this is Margaret Gray.
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know where you think you are or what program you think you're on, but that story you told was unnecessary.
Hold on for...
No, you hold on for a minute. That story you told was unnecessary. It was pornographic. I believe you told it for shock value. I don't believe you told it because it had any real purpose on our program. It also shows you to be quite an animal, quite a pig when it comes to being a man.
Thank you very much.
And it also shows... Did he hang up?
Yeah, he hung up.
Well?
Well, do you blame me for talking to him the way I do? The way that I do?
The way you do? The way... No, the way you did?
The way I did.
I do. No, I do. I mean, I don't.
What?
What are you talking about?
I don't blame you, Margaret, for the way you talked to him. I think it was probably appropriate. I would have liked to have talked to him more, but we have to take a break right now. No, but I don't. I don't blame you.
Yes, but you're qualifying it.
I'm not qualifying anything. I don't blame you. We'll be right back. The world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Oh, I'm a pig, huh?
Did you call back?
Just that I'm hanging up again.
Phil Henry. This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. On the line with me is just me. Robert Greene hung up, and that's fine. You may be noticing, if you are watching Phil TV in HD, this is a... I got this on... First of all, I posted this on our Facebook page, and I'm showing it to our very good friends, our backstage pass members. This is a site called driveintheater.com.
But you don't like it. Why?
I now, just hold on for a minute, okay?
Yeah, I did say you don't like the site.
I don't like the site because it's more of some jive-ass aficionado site about, hey, wow, here's all the drive-in movie theaters that ever existed. Who cares? I mean, if I wanted to learn that, that's fine. I want to know what drive-in movie theaters are open and are being used for drive-in movies.
Well, Phil, they do tell you that on this page.
Yeah, I got to wade through all of these that are dark gone. I don't care, man. I don't care. Loma Linda, San Bernardino, California. Give an example. The Tri-City Drive-In. Wow, that's great. Guess what? It's gone. So what do I care? Here's the Lompoc, Santa Barbara County, California. The Valley Drive-In at 2222 North 8th Street, Route 1. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
Guess what? It's gone. So why do I care? I want to know the ones that exist. Thank you very much. And get out of my face. Now, here's one that does exist. Now, Robert Greene took Roberta to the what?
He said he took her up to the
I think it was the Starline or the Skyline in Barstow.
And she looked up and asked one more time, will you teach me the thing, and then bit him.
Yeah, she said.
I think that story, and by the way, I don't like the story. I think it's vulgar. I think it is vile. But I don't blame her.
Get a load of you, vulgar and vile, but you don't blame her.
I wouldn't talk about it in public. But I think if ever a man deserved that kind of treatment, that's that pig that you just had on these airwaves, yes.
Well, I'm not going to disagree with you. Robert Greene certainly has a lot to... He's got a long way to go in his appreciation of the female branch of the human family. But I'll tell you this much. For that woman to... What's her problem?
What do you mean?
What has she got to learn to key punch on the cash register machine for? She's going out with a guy. She's sleeping with a guy. She's about ready to go...
Do the do. Yeah, go do the do in the fucking chicken too.
Whatever. In a movie theater, in a drive-in.
Well, I can understand that. They were trying to relive the glory days of old. And...
Oh, get a load of you all of a sudden. The glory days of old.
Well, Phil, I don't think there's anyone my age or older, or even your age, I don't think there's anyone that doesn't remember with a faint smile on their lips... The great days of the drive-in movie theaters, and I'm not talking about the movies. Okay?
Yeah, Margaret, for somebody that is really, you don't like all this terrible stuff, you just gave me a little look like,
I beg your pardon?
You gave me a look like, you gave me a smile, didn't you?
Well, it doesn't mean that I want to park with you, if that's what you're saying.
No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying you gave me a smile as if to say, ha, 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 wasn't that a lot of fun?
What?
Did you bite him?
Did I do?
You shut up, bud. You can see how she's going to get. She's going to drive the heel of a high heel right into your eye, just like she said she was going to do with the guy. Who was it, Ted Bell?
I said Ted Bell would wander in here bored with my high heel hanging out of his eyeball socket. Yes.
Right. All right.
You just blowing that off?
Yeah, that's pretty ugly, man. You blew that off.
Yeah, of course I'm going to blow it off, because if I ask her about it, she's going to go into great detail about his eyeball and the blood and everything else. I don't want to hear about it, all right? And the point that I'm making about drive-in movie theaters is about this website. That's all I'm saying. And it was something that I wanted to point out to my listeners and to my Phil TV in HD subscriber, BSP, God Almighty, King of the Earth BSPs. I wanted them to see this site, because there's a great many web... If you're a drive-in movie fan, as I am... And you spent some part of your life at the drive-in movies. And by the way, thank you very much, the city of Westlake Village, which has opened up some new theater. Now I gotta go see it, man. Did you hear about this one?
No.
It's down from where I live. They've got a movie theater, and they have personal servers. Now, this is like the cinema. Remember when I was talking about the cinema and draft house in Orlando, Florida in the 70s?
Yes.
All right. And we would go in there, and we saw these movies that they could get. I guess they were second run. It would be about now if it was on pay-per-view on cable. In those days, there wasn't the... Although HBO had started around 1975, people still were not all that savvy. So if it is a movie today that goes from the movie theater to pay-per-view, these would be those movies. It would be at the pay-per-view stage. So it had its first run, and now it's ready for its second run, and the cinema and draft house. So you'd sit down. You had they had beer and they had popcorn. They had waitresses that came and served you at your table. I'm telling you, I had a great time. It was fantastic. And it was a great place to take a date. And,
Yeah, that's the first place where you had a pong game, right?
The what?
That the first place you played pong?
Yeah, the Swede and I used to go in there and play pong. You're absolutely right. It was the first time I ever played pong. And Swede and I had these freaking maniac games over just big-ass pitchers of beer. So it was a lot of fun. And I always used to say, well, why... I wonder why that didn't catch on, you know? I mean, are you kidding? You go in, you have, you sit at a table with your friends, you're having yourself some suds, you're watching a big-ass movie, the place is air-conditioned, it's beautiful, you know? Well, sure enough now, here we are, 2012, and I was just talking to my crew tonight as we were doing a rehearsal on our one-man show, which, of course, we will give you more information on as the days and the weeks proceed to. Anyway... And he says to me, Darren said, man, I took my wife over to this. Have you been over here? And then Alex and Chris chimed in. I said, what are you guys talking about? They said, it's over here in the mall, Westlake Village, and it's this new movie theater called the something something. I don't know what the hell the name of it is, okay?
But what do they got?
Well, what they have are these chairs. First of all, the chairs are first-class airline seat-type chairs that go all the way back to almost a full recline. Are you ready for that?
You're kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. They all, then you have a table, then you have your server. She comes and she serves dinners. Dinners. Booze. And you're seeing the movie. And I said to the guys, I go, well, I'm never going to be able to go to that because I'll never get in. There must be a line around. They said, no, the place is like empty. I said, you're kidding. He said, no. He said, when I went there, it was not that many people. I said, so then I asked the magic question, well, what were the movies? And it's a similar kind of thing. The films are not first-run films. They're second, third run. And I was reminded of that, which I don't care. See, I think that people will go for that experience, not for the movie, for God's sake. They go to kick back, you know.
Oh, absolutely. I think people will go to that just to relax and have a unique movie experience. And now, how is the service? If the service is slow... That's a mark against them. If the... I don't know, but I'm going to have to go over and see for myself. I'll get Frank to go with me.
Oh, you got to get him. You got to get Frank to go with you because it's great. And I wouldn't even... The service... Yeah, I think slow service probably would piss you off because you're sitting there and you're going, this is cool, and I'm in a really comfortable chair, and I got this great table, and, you know, there's a movie. Who cares what movie? And where's my beer? You know, so... Now, I noticed when I was looking at these drive-ins, this King's Drive-In in Kings County, which is, they say, smack dab in the middle of the state of California. Here it is, the King's Drive-In. And I went over to their website. And here, I'll give an example of what they're showing. And this is exactly what I mean. The 40-year-old virgin, okay?
That movie's really old.
I know, but it's not about the movie. Do you understand? It's about the experience. Deuce Bigalow, European Gold... those are the two movies that they're showing, and you can dial into the audio at 91.1 FM. Radio is required to listen to the movie audio broadcast in stereo. Click here for an explanation of the movie rating system. Blah, blah. So they got two movies they're showing, The 40-Year-Old Virgin and Deuce Bigalow, European Gigolo. So there you go.
What in the hell is that? Would you turn that off before I start bleeding from the nose? Thank God.
I'm sorry, it was music they played on the website.
Yeah, what if you want to see a 40-year-old virgin?
Who cares if it's the 40-year-old virgin, man? Are you listening to me or not?
Man, you're not supposed to care. It's about experience.
Yeah, but I don't know.
All right, fine, stay home. I don't give a damn. I'm going, man. I'm going to kick back in my airline leather seat, and I'm going to have my drink and my dinner, and I'm going to chill and watch a freaking movie. You know? Sounds good to me, man. I don't give a damn what it is. I don't know the one that they're showing. That was the drive-in.
Well, yeah, that's what I mean. I'm not going to go to a drive-in. I might go to a place that got a leather seat.
What are you talking about, bud? You sound like an idiot. You know that?
Well, what are you saying, bud? You'd rather go to the one with the leather seats but not the drive-in.
Yeah, the drive-in's not as good.
Bud, you've never been to a drive-in. You've never been to a drive-in. The drive-in is awesome. Who cares what the movie is? You're sitting in your own car. You're eating all kinds of candy and popcorn and drinking all kinds of stuff. You're having a ball. You know what we used to do when we were kids? we would go, my parents would take us in our pajamas, because we were little tiny kids, and we would get up on the hood of the car, and we'd sit there on the hood of the car, leaning against the windshield, and that's how we'd watch the movie. And there'd be hundreds of kids in the drive-in doing the exact same thing, with their little pillows, and I thought that I was just in heaven, and you could look up and you'd see the stars, and there was the movie, and you felt the night air. It was a ball, you know.
But your parents are in their pajamas, too. You're going to get arrested.
My parents were not in their pajamas.
Yeah, but that's what you're proposing. You're going to go in your pajamas now. World.
I'm not going to the movie theater in my pajamas anymore. I'm not a little kid anymore, okay? And my parents didn't go in their pajamas. The only ones that went in pajamas was me and my brother and my sisters. My parents are not in their pajamas.
You're talking about, correct me if I'm wrong, Mr. Henry.
Look, bud, don't start getting into your professorial, hey, Mr. Henry.
No, wait a minute. You say you go in your pajamas, right?
In my pajamas when I was a kid.
Not now.
No, not now, I wouldn't go.
You did say, and I feel I gotta tell people, you said, and I do feel I gotta tell them.
What?
You sleep in underwear.
Yeah, I mean... No, you're right, bud. Thank you for pointing out. When I go to the drive-in now, folks, I'll be going in my underwear. And I'm going to get out, and I'm going to lay on the hood of the car. Is that it?
Okay, I can tell you're laughing. Now you're laughing at me.
No. Really?
Bud, you know, I worry about you. You're a thick idiot. I love you, but you're a thick, blind idiot. You really are.
Yeah, but I'm getting better.
Sure, you're getting better, man. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show. Yeah, if I go to the drive-in now, I will not wear my pajamas. I will wear, however, what I do wear when I sleep, my briefs or boxers or, hey, some nights I'm nude. So look for me leaning on the hood of my car with a pillow, stark naked at a drive-in near you.
Yeah, now
Truth
you're laughing.
He's our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. And I've just found Dan. We found a movie theater that Dan used to go to when he was a kid, Dan Northcraft, our intrepid engineer. And Dan used to go to this movie theater here. It was called, as a kid, the Roseburg Douglas County, the Starlight Indoor-Outdoor Theater, Bud Dickman.
Dan, that's too bad because it says here that it had gone dark.
What made it gone dark?
It went dark. They've got all, well, you don't want me to say, but it's all Negro.
Is that what that means?
No, that's not what it means, you idiots.
But what'd you say that for?
That's what I thought it meant.
They got black ownership.
No, it means it's closed down.
Well, I made a logical conclusion.
All you're being, man, is the usual racist that you are.
In any event, it closed down and it doesn't exist anymore and no one will ever make it come back. There's nothing we could have done. We did everything that we could do and there's nothing we could do about it. He's gone.
What do you mean he's gone?
I mean he's gone. There's nothing we could do about it and there was nothing we did about it.
What, you don't like that?
No, I don't like that. Is that supposed to be from The Godfather?
No.
Oh, I mean,
from Goodfellas.
The Godfather, man, where you been?
I made a mistake, okay, from Goodfellas. You're talking about a movie drive-in theater, and you're talking about a guy getting whacked? No, I don't think it fits.
Why not?
Huh? He's gone, and there's nothing we could do about it? You're talking about a movie theater? And, Bud, you're an idiot, okay? It went dark. It has Negro ownership.
That's it. I think you're being racist, and you're being racist on purpose.
Well, it doesn't make any difference now, because it went dark. It all went dark, and there's nothing you can do about it.
What do you mean it went dark?
I mean it's dark. It's dark. Man, it's all messed up. What's the matter?
Get out of here with that, will you, for God's sake? Anyway, that was Dan's... Sorry, Dan. That was his boyhood home to go and see the fine films that he snuck in. I mean, that he went to with his family. All of them, I'm sure, very fine, rated X. I mean, you know, family fare. That he enjoyed.
You say you snuck into an X-rated movie?
Yes, you did, Phil. Tell everyone the story of when you snuck into the X-rated film. Wait till people hear what kind of movie it was.
I snuck in to see Don't Look Back, Bob Dylan, the documentary on Bob Dylan.
What?
I snuck in to see Don't Look Back, a documentary on Bob Dylan.
That ain't X-rated.
No, why is that X-rated? Did he take his pants off?
Yeah.
No, he didn't take his pants off. It was X-rated because they used very graphic language. In those days, if you were using the F-word and all that, it was a rated X, man. That's how, you know, lightweight things were back in the 60s. So if even the most controversial movies from the 60s, you'll notice the language is relatively clean. Now, in Don't Look Back, it was a documentary of Bob Dylan traveling his first tour of England, I think. And it was a great movie because it showed a lot of really candid shots of Dylan talking to all kinds of British musicians and all kinds of people. And there's a drunken argument in a hotel room where people are telling each other to F off and people are throwing stuff out the windows, you know. Anyway, I snuck into this movie when I was 15. And,
Well, did you look older for your age?
No, I did not. I did not. There's no way in hell. I looked young for my age, but I don't know why they let me in. You know, maybe they were just sort of cool, you know.
Well, I don't think that's being cool. I think that is irresponsible myself.
Well, maybe it was. But I got in, and at that time, I got to see a really cool movie, and I really enjoyed the hell out of it. It was Don't Look Back. But no, it wasn't,
Dad, it wasn't about nude.
No, it was not about nudes, all right? Did he have his pants off? All right, so there you go, folks. That's my big, 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 big time story. And all the best to all of you with your drive-in hunting. I can only tell you that, you know, I miss it. I miss it so. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. And our website, philhenryshow.com. We're on Twitter at twitter.com/realphilhenry, twitter.com/realphilhenry. We're going to start doing a feature called Phil Facts. And I'm the Phil Facts are going to be just pieces from my life, you know, that I guess people want to know.
Wait a minute. When you say about a Phil fact.
Yeah, just hold on. Phil facts are things from my life that people may want to know or people may not want to know. I don't know. But to that extent, I've been talking to people that I know, people that I have that I've known for a long time, people that I trust to see what kind of a Phil fact they would want. And I know, Bud, you and Margaret and Robert, you guys have your opinion. But I wanted to get Jay Santos on for the Citizens Auxiliary Police because Jay and I have known each other since, I guess, since I started my show in Los Angeles back in 96. You were one of the first people that I had on my show, Jay. Do you remember?
I'll tell you something, Phil. I really do remember, and I remember very fondly. Yes, I do.
And you guys had just started up the Citizens Auxiliary Police?
Well, we had started, when I say we had started the Citizens Auxiliary Police in 1996, as you know, Phil. Under the aegis of Major Elvis Newton. Major Newton had been, at that time, was currently, which means at the same time, he was concurrently in the United States Army Reserve.
Okay.
And at that time, then, it was Major Elvis Newton who had his very famous October 96 vision, which then led to the formation.
Can I ask, what was this October 96 vision? I don't mean to be rude. I'm not familiar with the exact...
Well, Ms. Gray, it was a vision that Major Elvis Newton had. He was in his home at the time. We call it the October 96 revelation or a vision. It's something that we all know in the Citizens Auxiliary Police.
Can you tell us what it was?
Certainly, no. There's no secret that in October 1996, I received a phone call. At that time, I knew Major Newton. He was one of my neighbors. We had both discussed with, at some length, the deterioration of American morality and a deterioration, really, of our legal system and how we felt that America had more to offer, that we could help our police that and take charge of an eroding social and legal system that at that time, at that, you know, at that had at that time not been doing, not had done no good. And it was that time I was called. He had had a vision while sitting, smoking, I don't know how many Pall Mall Straights. They were unfiltered. He had one of those beanbag ashtrays sitting on the arm of a nicotine-soaked and coffee-stained easy chair that he was sitting in, one of those recliners, and he wore his sunglasses even indoors, and even with the lights down, he and his wife kept minimal lighting on, and there was always a flickering black-and-white TV showing something like You Bet Your Life or To Tell the Truth or, you know, something like that. I went in, and I began talking to the general. At that time, he told me that he loved me.
Phil Hendry.